God has been good to us around here. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 5. I'm going to read a few scriptures here. It came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. This is everybody that was anybody in the Jewish system was there. All of their kindred. When they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which the builders set at naught, which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other." You have to understand these words were unbelievable to them because these guys were the head of the Jewish religion. These Caiaphas and Annas were the two that had just had Jesus crucified not many days before that. And then they stand up and say, "It was Jesus. You set him at naught." But he said, he goes on, he says, "There's not even salvation in any other name. For there is none other name given among men, under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You can be seated. There's Peter and John. I'll read a little bit more in Acts chapter 1, verse 3. It says, and this is what triggered this scene. It says, when Peter and John went up together into the temple about at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And they took him by the right hand, lifted him up. And then the Old Testament church was introduced to the New Testament church. Amen. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Amen. You say, "I don't know how you guys have church." How can you not have church when God has just done something like that in your life? Amen. And he doesn't have to make your legs walk. He can bring you out of depression. He can bring you out of sickness. He can bring you out of drug addiction. He can bring you out of all kinds of things. There's a lot of reasons somebody can come leaping and dancing and praising God into the house of God. Why? Because God has done a miracle in my life. Oh, somebody ought to praise him right now. Every service we ought to have some walking and leaping and praising God in here because God has done something to me. I know where some of you came from, amen. It shouldn't get old. Every time you come into the house of God, you ought to say, "Hey, God's done something in my life. I cannot deny that he's done something in my life. I want to praise him. Amen. You can be seated. You see, they're in there doing their ceremony. They're in there doing all the rituals, and they've got their fancy robes on, and they've got the incense burning, and they're doing everything by the book. And here comes this guy. Bible says walking and leaping and praising God. They're in there doing whatever they're doing. They're doing their pious ritual. And then here comes a guy leaping and praising God and walking around. And church was about to have church. Amen. Old Testament was just revealed into the New Testament. And I'm sure that those guys were about to say, hey, stop that guy. But then everybody looked at him and said, we know who that is. That's the guy that his parents bring him to the beautiful gate every single day, and we've passed him hundreds, if not thousands, of times every day, and he's saying, alms, alms. Well, he wasn't asking them for anything that day. He was just jumping up and down saying, look at what God just did in my life. Look at what God just did in my life. You see, I'm not here to ask for anything. I'm here to give praise to God. I'm here to give him glory and honor and to magnify his name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. You can be seated, but you see, then they started saying, well, we need to have an inquiry. We need to have an inquest. We need to figure out what happened. So they bring Peter and John in there, and they say, tell us. And they wanted to say, there's a devil at work. There's witchcraft going on here. Because tell us by what power, by what name you've done that. And you have to understand, these are the guys that just had a trial and crucified Jesus not long before. Same guys. And Peter and John both know that that's what they want this little inquiry to end up in. And, you know, there's something inside of a man when he's faced with his death. There's this fight or flight syndrome that takes over. It's not human nature to just stand there and make yourself a target. Offensive, defensive, something's got to happen, but that's not what Peter and John did. They stood up and they said, you need to understand exactly what happened here. It was Jesus, the guy that you crucified. Guess what? He rose from the dead. And guess what? It's by his name that we have done this. And there's not salvation in any other name. They just took over the joint. They just started preaching right there. They just started telling them exactly what it was going on. And these guys, they wanted to say, we need to crucify these guys too. The problem was still leaping over there in the corner. The problem was still praising God over there in the corner, and everybody was looking at the problem that those guys had. They said, you know, they had a huddle. What are we going to do? I don't know. We need to put these guys to death. Yeah, we need to put these guys to death. But everybody in here is watching this guy that they grew up with that couldn't walk from the time he was born, and now he's a middle-aged man. He's been sitting at that gate for 25 years, and we can't do anything about it because he's not being quiet either. What do we do? Nothing. That's a good idea. Let's don't do anything about it. You see, the devil doesn't know what to do about somebody who doesn't have anything to say but their testimony. Once I was blind, and now I can see. Once I was lame, and now I can walk. Once I was lost and dying and going to hell, and now God has delivered me and set me free. You can't do anything about it because I'm standing here. I'm worshiping God. I have joy. I have peace. Oh, somebody praise Him right now. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You can be seated, but see what really happened was these guys said, isn't that Peter and John? Isn't that same Peter that denied Jesus 3 times? Aren't these those timid guys that were just fishermen? We used to walk by those guys and they would cower in our presence because they knew the power and authority that we held. Yeah. But they've been with Jesus. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, men that had no status, men that had no authority, men that had no way of coming up against us, but they were, here they were, bold, they marveled. And took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can the world understand? Can the world perceive that you have been with Jesus? Amen. It's time, church, for the church to quit being silent. It's time for the church to stand up with a holy boldness and proclaim this gospel to everybody that'll hear it. Amen. If He's ever done anything for you, it's your time to jump up and leap and shout and proclaim it to the whole world. Jesus has touched me. Oh, God. Come on, let's lift our voices and praise Him right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. And Peter begins to explain some of it in Acts 3:19. He goes on, he tells them, repent. He's telling the guys that had the power to tell everybody else what they had to do to repent. You got to bring me 2 sheep. You got to bring me 2 turtle doves. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to bring me an ox and all of those things. And you come in here and then it'll be okay. And even Peter looks at him and says, repent and be converted. Oh, he was talking to the high priest. He's the guy. You need to be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And Peter laid it out right there. You know what? No matter what happens in your life, when you get your life right with God, you get into an apostolic service or you get into a red hot prayer meeting and the Spirit of God begins to come and He gives you refreshing. He gives you renewal. He reinvigorates you. That's where your strength comes from. It's the times of refreshing from the Lord. Peter was saying, you can do to me whatever you want to do to me. You can cast me in prison. But guess what? The refreshing of the Lord is still going to be there. You can put me on trial, but the presence of the Lord is still going to be there. Amen. If somebody needs a touch of God today, I want to tell you the Spirit of God is moving through this house. All you really have to do is lift up your hands and begin to sing His praises. Come on, I feel the presence of God moving through here. Somebody needs to be baptized with boldness today. Somebody needs to go ahead and say, hey, it's time for me to leap and jump and shout because God has done it for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The world doesn't have a replacement. They want spa treatments. They want this and they want that. But you know what we have? We have refreshing on the inside. We have refreshing of the inner man. Oh, God. Come on. Come on. I feel the power of God moving through this house right now. Come on. Worship Him. Praise Him. Somebody this morning that needs a renewal, that needs a refreshing, that needs a restoration, you can get it. The times of refreshing of the Lord are here. If you've lost your boldness, if you've lost your testimony, if you've lost your desire to go on, you just repent and pray and praise God. And guess what? Refreshing comes from the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Ah, I feel the presence of God right now. Hallelujah, you can be seated. You see, God has the ability to pour out more than you can handle. He does. He can pour out more in your life. And church, God's beginning to talk to me saying He wants to pour out a revival that we can't handle. So it wouldn't be wise to pour out a revival we can't handle. In Luke chapter 5, it says, this is back in Jesus' ministry. He entered into the ships, which was Simon, and prayed that he would thrust out a little from the land. He sat down and taught people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets for a draught. Let down your nets for a draught. Simon answered and said, Master, we've toiled all night. Nevertheless, at thy word. See, it doesn't matter how long it's been since the promise has been given before you see it. If Jesus says it's time to get a harvest, it's time to get a harvest. It doesn't matter. You can say, oh, I've done all this and nothing's ever happened. Nevertheless, Jesus, when you say it's time for the harvest, it's time for the harvest. Amen. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. Jesus said, boys, you weren't ready for what I was about to give you. You weren't ready for what I was about to pour out. Amen. I told you to go out into the deep, launch out, put your nets down, but you weren't ready. Oh, I want to be ready for revival. I want to be ready for souls. I want to be ready for a harvest. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. He goes on, he said, don't worry. From this point forward, you're going to catch men, not fish. Be seated for just a minute. Then we find in John chapter 21, Jesus has died, but he spent 3 years with these guys. 3.5 years with these guys. They learned something in 3.5 years. Jesus died. He hasn't shown himself to them. Simon said, I'm just going back fishing. I'm going to go fishing. They said, we're going with you. They went forth, entered the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus came. Children, have you any meat? They said, nope. It's like all fishermen. Catch anything? You know, you're always proud and you hold up a stringer and there's a stringer. Yeah, man, I caught stuff. Said, we don't have anything. And he said, just cast your net on the other side of the boat and you're going to find it. They cast therefore and they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. But if you go down to verse 11, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 150 in three, and for all there were so many, yet the net was not broken. You see,
You see, you think nothing's happening when nothing's happening, but something's happening when you think nothing's happening. You know what God's doing? He's preparing the net. He's preparing the vessel so they can receive the blessing of the Lord. The first time they hadn't spent any time with him, he said, put your nets out there. The net broke. But after 3.5 years of spending time with Jesus, he said, I'm going to pour out just as many fish, but when you bring it in, you're going to be ready to receive the blessing of the Lord. Oh, Jesus. I want to tell you, Life Pentecostal Church, God is going to pour out a revival in this place. I know he is. It's time to understand. I want to be prepared to receive the blessing that God wants to pour out in my life, in my church, in my family. Oh, somebody praise God right now. Somebody magnify Jesus in this place. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You see, you cannot help but live for God for very long when a time of refreshing comes. And God, I know you can pour out more than I can contain. You can press it down, shake it together, have it running over. But God, I want it all. I want you to pour it all out right now. Hallelujah. I have a lot more to preach. I just feel the presence of God moving in this place. You see, God can pour out more knowledge of him than you're ready to receive. Psalm 139:6, such knowledge is too wonderful me. For me it is high. I cannot attain it. You think that you want more, but oh, are you ready for what God wants to pour out in your life? You say you want more, but are you ready when God begins to pour out a blessing in your life? He can pour out more. In fact, don't even put all these up. In Malachi, he said, you bring your tithes in here. He said, I'm going to pour out a blessing. There won't even be room enough to receive it. In Psalm 23, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. It cannot contain. It cannot handle what you're ready to pour out. Jesus said you don't put new wine in an old wineskin. If your walk with God is old, it's stale, it's musty, it's not ready for what God wants to pour out. Oh, hallelujah. He's ready to break somebody's life wide open. He's ready to pour out blessings in your life. The question is, are you walking around with an old, stale prayer life? Are you walking around with an old, stale worship life? Are you walking around with an old, stale knowledge of God? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I'm preaching to somebody hope this morning. I'm preaching to somebody that God is about to do what he said he's always going to do. Amen. Hallelujah. It said the world couldn't contain the works that Jesus did if they were written in a book. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, church. It's a time of harvest. And you may say, oh, we've heard that, we've done that, we've toiled all night long, Pastor, we haven't seen anything. Yes, but when Jesus says, throw your net on the other side of the boat, you better have your nets ready, you better have your boat ready, you better have everything ready. And how do you get it ready? You just spend time with Jesus. You let that walk with God renew, refresh. You let the times of refreshing renew you over and over again. Somebody dare to believe, nevertheless, at thy word.
Hallelujah. Nevertheless, God, at your word, I'm going to open my mouth. There's going to be a holy boldness that comes out of my mouth, and I am going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to everybody I see. And the devil's going to jump on your shoulder. You tried that before and nothing happened. Yes, but that does not mean that it nullifies the word of God. He said the fields are white. They're ready to harvest. And guess what, devil? You may say, I'm never going to need that net. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get my net ready. I'm going to get my cup ready. I'm going to get my life ready. I'm going to get my vessel ready. Because God is not a liar. Oh, come on, somebody praise him right now. Somebody praise him right now. Somebody magnify Jesus in this house. Oh, God. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost moving in here. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You have not because you ask not. When's the last time you dared to ask God, pour out a harvest I can't contain? God, give me a harvest I cannot contain. God, pour out a blessing in this church it can't even contain unless it gets some things renewed and refreshed and restored. You see, God is able, God is willing. He can pour out more than you can handle. When was the last time you got a feeling like Moses? He said, God, I've seen you more than anybody has. God, I've talked to you. You've talked to me. We've been on this mountain. But God, show me everything. Hallelujah. Church, it's our day. It's our hour. It's time right now. Come on, it's time for you to say, God bless me. God bless me. God bless this church with a harvest. You're sitting here today and you've never experienced any of this. It's time to get a boldness about you and say, God, lay it on me. God, lay it on me. I've seen people walk in here and walk straight out. And I see them later. I said, what happened? They said, I was scared. I didn't ever feel anything like that. And I didn't know what I was up against. But it's time somebody get a little boldness and say, God, I understand you're more powerful than I can handle. I understand you can bless me beyond measure. I understand. But give me everything, God. Somebody, they're going to sing. We're going to worship. We're going to magnify God. We're going to begin to praise him with everything we have. It's time we praise our way through this right now. Come on, has he done anything for you? Has God blessed you?